Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Wonderful thing you're starting here, JC. Tell us how it all got started and what's happening.
We did something called the Food and Cash Salvation Bash back in the late 80s, and we raised all this money for the Salvation Army and tons, and something like 50 tons of food and $250,000 over the course of a span of about maybe 4 or 5 years. And we've been looking for something to do to sort of replace that. And so we came up with this, and we had a great night tonight. We presented a check, I think it was for almost $12,000. It's been a good night.
You, along with your partner, John Hewlett, who's our stadium announcer at Busch Stadium, how long have you been attending spring training?
It's been about 25 years. And, you know, in addition to my 25th anniversary of doing morning radio here, this is also John Hewlett's 25th year of being the public address announcer here at Busch Stadium. So we got a lot to celebrate. John grew up within walking distance of this ballpark. If you walk a little bit south and a little bit west of here, that's where John grew up, sort of right across from Squires.
And I was around in 1984 when you became so closely associated to the New York Mets.
The New York Mets. Yes, yes, yes. The Mets are pond scum. It's one of those things that has been embraced by the St. Louis community. Everybody's got to be famous for something, and why not
that's
that?
That's part of history when you think about that. Oh, pond scum. Yeah, there you go.
Do you know that that has been on David Letterman? That has been on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That thing pops
up. Has it really?
Pops up
on Letterman
everywhere.
Let me ask you about throwing out the first pitch. Did you warm up?
I did not warm up tonight, but I was ready to go. You know, John Hewlett is a worrier, as you know. He worries about everything. And all you have to do is mention that around anybody here at the stadium.
I told John, my theory, my saying is nothing can go wrong.
And John's like, look, JC, a lot of these guys, I see, they come out here and they think they're trying out for the team. And they throw wild, they almost kill somebody. And I fired one right down the middle. It would have been taken deep. You know, you never want to get that much of the plate.
Or that high.
Never want to get that much of the plate.
I threw out the first ball at the last White Sox home game I worked in Chicago. And Ed Farmer, my partner, was the catcher.
Ed Farmer.
And Ed goes, you got to get back there and warm up. And the other thing, throw it high. If you throw it high, it'll be right there.
Sure.
And I'll be able, and he was right. How much time as a kid did you spend playing baseball?
Oh, I had the pleasure and the thrill of having an uncle who was playing for the Chicago Cubs at that time. From 58 to 64, Don Elston, relief pitcher for the Chicago Cubs, everyday Elston, and really had a hand in what we now know as the save rule. If you look in the archives, Jerome Holtzman, writer.
Jerome Holtzman, absolutely.
There was stuff going on Elway Face with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and there were some funny things going on with the statistics, and my uncle Don was used sort of as the model for what we now know as the save rule.
Jerome has told me that.
So you guys have been nice enough to put me on here, and it's a blast. We just get to talk about all the fun stuff. It all, I mean, 25 years, and we've been closely associated with the Cardinals. We have been to broadcast from the Cardinals lobby of their hotel in all of the playoff games, all of the World Series games. We've been doing that for years. In 1998, I get a call from the curator of the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. He says, you know, I've been hearing about this opening day radio show that you've been doing in St. Louis all these years. Would you mind sending me a copy of that? I said, sure, why not? So I sent him a copy of the opening day baseball show. We've been doing that here in St. Louis for almost 25 years. And they basically inducted it. It is now in the archives in Cooperstown. When you go to visit the Baseball Hall of Fame, you can actually sit down with the source material and listen to the show that we did back in 1998. I mean, sometimes, like I said, I got to pinch myself. After 25 years, you do become reflective, and you start to say to yourself, my gosh, how did all this happen?
Hey, thanks a lot for coming by, though, and a great thing you've done with the Salvation Army, and keep on doing those opening day shows.
It's my pleasure, and again, to hear you and Mike Shannon doing these games. My gosh, what a pleasure it is. People have no idea how good they have it here in St. Louis with you guys.
Thank you, JC. We're going to take a 2-minute break, and then Mike will be right back on the Cardinals Baseball Network.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, September 29, 2022, 40 days until the midterm clusterfuck. All right, you're at jcontheline.com. We are running on emergency power. We are generating our own power here today. Power went out in our neighborhood about, about 3 or 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. About a year ago, I took my generator, which I had gotten from Lawn Care Equipment, which was on near Brentwood Boulevard at the time, and has since moved down along Watson Road. And then they got another one in DeSoto, but they practically gave me the generator. They gave it to me at cost, and I was doing their commercials at the time. They're great people, everything, at Lawn Care Equipment. So I've had this generator for a real long time, but like any other piece of equipment, if you don't sort of maintain it, you don't use it, gets corroded and stuff like that. So last year I took it into one of these lawn and garden places and I said, just you know, make sure that when I pull this chain, this thing starts and that it runs. Whatever you have to do to it, refurbish, whatever the case may be. So they charged me about, it was like $180, and they replaced, you know, everything that was important. And it's got a Briggs & Stratton engine. It's a good machine. It's just a little on the older side, and it's not that big in terms of capacity and its ability to generate, you know, massive amounts of electricity. But, you know, I got it just because, you know, I was thinking more in terms of the Midwest, and sometimes you will have a tornado or more likely some sort of situation in the winter that requires a generator. And, you know, you're figuring maybe a couple of hours, maybe a day or two at tops. And, you know, you never imagine that it's going to be something we're going to need it for a week or 2 weeks or something like that. So the smell of carbon monoxide, which of course has no smell, but you can definitely smell the exhaust, I'll tell you that. And you know, you shouldn't have problems because in this environment, the wind is just blowing like crazy. So it's when you have still air, calm air, as the meteorologists would say, that's when you got troubles. And already this morning, we're hearing stories about carbon monoxide poisoning down here. But the thing made a right turn and ended up going about 2 hours south of where I am. We just got grazed, but it was enough, as I said, to take out the power. So it is interesting when you start running a generator, the pecking order, you know, what's your priorities? And number one, the refrigerator, right? That's the main thing. And even though it's this giant machine, you know, your refrigerator, the motor in the refrigerator doesn't run that often. It only runs when it needs to, like if you have the door open a lot. So frankly, a refrigerator should actually keep you in good shape for quite a while, as long as you don't have it open all the time. But if you start opening, then the motor runs more and it takes more juice out of the generator. But if I had $20,000 laying around, I wouldn't do anything with, I would get one of those ones that just clicks on automatically and is hooked up to everything in the house. It's just basically hooked up to your electrical box. And if the power goes out, this thing goes on and you don't even know anything happened. You just go along your merry way like nothing was wrong at all. Like I said, though, 20 grand. Sorry, got to take a pass on that one. And if anything good happens on the Today Show, Good Morning America, or, you know, CBS Morning News, I ain't going to see it because all of that network programming has been preempted for local coverage down here. They just got reporters spread all over the place as the sun starts coming up in the state of Florida, and we are able to start seeing the damage, especially from the stuff that happened overnight. I hope you got a chance to see that video I posted on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, because it's a video of Fort Myers, and there is a shark swimming right down the street. And it's a big shark, by the way. And there's time-lapse video of some of the intersections and stuff in Fort Myers where you just see it come rolling in like thunder. And in the course of like 30, 45 minutes, it goes from a peaceful, calm situation to, you know, like 6 feet of water right in the middle of the street and sharks swimming into the local Starbucks. Jaws? Jaws? Mr. Jaws? Your order is ready. But precisely where I am, The storm really just grazed us. And in fact, by this afternoon, they say the sun might even come out. It's still going to be very windy, but the sun may come out, or at least a little bit of sunshine. And people are already talking about, you know, putting everything back out in front of the house, you know, the plants and taking your cars out of the garage and being able to go somewhere. But that's just around here. Like I said, we're about 25 miles northwest of downtown Tampa. Thanks, everybody, for checking in on me. Yesterday, I heard from an awful lot of you. Appreciate that. The real problems are, like I said, about 2 hours south of here. You know where it is, by the way? It's Gabby Petito's neighborhood. It came right in. Remember the chick who was in the van with the boyfriend, and then he killed her, and then he killed himself? Okay, that... The storm went right in there. Like I said, I got a friend who lives in Venice, which, again, was right in the bullseye yesterday. Like I said, it took about an hour and a half to get there, maybe 2 hours, depending on traffic. And, you know, he's got two alligators living in a pond in the back of his house. Darn things are out sunning themselves on nice days. So now, if you have that flooded, sure enough, I mean, you have alligators just swimming down your street. Move to Florida. It'll be fun, they said. 150 mile-hour winds. There's video of Jim Cantore getting hit by a flying tree branch while he was reporting. There's more video of some lightning and some... There's one gal who was on television locally here. She starts setting up for a live shot, and a transformer goes kaboom. And everybody just basically shit their pants. It was unbelievable. And there's, you know, a lot of people like to stand around and watch the reporters do their live shots. And, you know, they're holding on to stuff too, just like the reporters. And this was something I'd never seen before. They had a lot of the reporters wearing baseball helmets. And I'm talking about like the Little League type baseball helmets that come completely over the ear. Some people were freaking out because 21 Waffle House locations closed. Waffle House famous for staying open no matter what. And the condom barrier has been broken on network television because reporters were using condoms to protect the tips of their microphones. And there were a lot of jokes about, you know, did the female reporter have the condoms already, or did she have to ask one of the guys? So by around midnight last night, about 2 million people in the state of Florida without power. 2 million. In the Fort Myers area, even worse, 96% of homes don't have electricity. City was not able to respond to all the emergency calls coming in. Mayor's like, everybody's got to be patient. We told you to get out of here. We gave you evacuation orders. You didn't follow them. And now you're sitting there without any power. We do have water. You know, the water didn't go out. That's what I was worried about. You can run a generator and you can, you know, pick out the important things in your life to run off the generator. But when the pumping stations go and you don't have any water, that would just be hell. Now, our friend John Brown, remember him from Fox 2? He was in St. Louis, then he was in Orlando, then he was in St. Louis again, and now he's in Orlando again. Talked to him a couple of times yesterday, and the irony of this whole thing is that a lot of people figured, all right, let's get out of here, we got to evacuate, let's go to Orlando, okay? At least we can have some fun there. Well, what happens? Tornado makes a right turn, and Orlando is getting crushed overnight and this morning, and they're talking about, you know, 12, 14, 15 inches of rain plus the high winds. Now the big question is going to be, Ian is going to come out the other side of the state and may reorganize and go up the east coast of these here United States. So watch this space. This may not be over. Tampa Bay Bucks were supposed to host the Kansas City Chiefs in Tampa. On Sunday, the Bucs had moved their training, their workouts in preparation for Sunday's game down to Miami. But yesterday, the NFL said if the game has to be moved, they're going to play it in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. Now, I'm telling you one thing, there shouldn't be any real reason why they can't play that game in Tampa. There's never an issue of whether the players can get in. Oh, maybe in a snowstorm or a real, real serious widespread natural disaster, maybe. But 99% of the time, you know, the teams can get in there. The problem is getting the network trucks down there, and especially on game day, there's over 3,000, just to use Busch Stadium as an example, there's about 3,000 people who work at the stadium on a regular basis. 3,000. That's everything from vendors through groundskeepers, through ticket takers, through people who run the office, security people, people who run the scoreboards and the press box, and you know, just all that sort of stuff, about 3,000 people. So that's a pretty good number to work with when you're talking about a football stadium. And those are just, you know, neighborhood folks. If they can't get in, then you got a problem, because they're not going to play a football game in a stadium where you can't get a beer and a hot dog. Do we have another one of those squirrely Thursday night games again where you can't find the goddamn thing? Yep, here it is. Cincinnati hosting Miami. On Amazon. Here we go. Oh, one more thing. The guy who flies into the eye of the hurricane, the United States Air Force plane, the guy's made 76 missions. Okay. They were interviewing him yesterday on TV. 76 times it was his job to take an airplane and fly it through the hurricane into the eye, where then they can, they can drop things out of the plane. And they got anemometers and stuff like that. They can figure out the strength of the storm, which is very, very important. 76 times, and he said yesterday when he had to fly through, it was the worst one he ever had to fly through. They even posted a little video where some things really got thrown around in the plane when the pressure changed. And I'm sorry, that's crazy. What a crazy ass job. Go fly into a hurricane with an airplane. So that's it. There's no other major news. We hope that power comes on very, very soon. In lieu of that, we will generate our own and see how it goes. Got it. Yeah, that's that Briggs & Stratton engine. You got to put premium gas in there, too. Jesus, is that expensive. You know, I get these gasoline cans filled with all this gas for the generator, and it is the expensive stuff. I can't wait to get my hands on Maggie Haberman's book. If you've been watching her on the various news networks being interviewed, her new book comes out, I think it's sometime next week, October 4th. Is it the 4th or the 8th? I'm not really sure. It's like sometime in the next week or two. Anyhow, as they always do with a particularly enticing book like this, they have been letting little snippets out. They've been distributing them into the media, so everybody's talking about it. And some of the stuff in this book, just when you thought you'd heard it all from the Trump family, oh, Jesus. She says the Trumps would not use the bathrooms in the White House until they were all torn out, replaced, and rebuilt, because they didn't want to use the same toilets that the Obamas did. I know that people will immediately challenge that, but she is a hell of a reporter. She is a hell of a reporter. And if Maggie Haberman says it, I have a tendency to believe it, even though you hear something like that and you're like, oh man, even for Trump, I hope that's not true. But it appears it is. Cardinals lost last night, but I think it was admirable that a lot of the guys stayed in the lineup. You know, obviously these games mean not much. I don't want to say they mean nothing, but they don't really mean too much. And a lot of the guys traditionally, when you wrap up a division and you got a week of games left, most of them sort of sit out. These guys want to play, and I think that's important. I think that's a wise thing to do. There's a delicate balance between, geez, we're tired, it's a long season, we're approaching October, and man, could I use a rest. However, baseball, I think particularly, is the kind of game that if you don't play it every day, you will lose your sharpness. And you're going to see some of the best pitching that there is in Major League Baseball when you get into the playoffs. You see the best pitching available in this league. And I saw some damn good pitching last night from Milwaukee. And, you know, you take 4 or 5 days off because the games don't mean anything, and then you come back next week and try to play baseball, and all of a sudden that 100-mile-an-hour pitch from the opposition looks like it's 200 miles an hour. So I think that, Tommy Edman was in the line, a lot of the guys were, and I think that's a very admirable thing. That's smart. Like, there's a long off season coming, okay? There's a very, very long off season. It's almost like what Warren Zevon said. He said, I'll sleep when I'm dead. In the meantime, Aaron Judge, the Yankees, hit home run number 61 last night, tying Roger Maris's single-season American League record. I don't know why, but it doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. You know, after the whole Maguire-Sosa thing, and then finding out that Sammy was cheating, and Maguire was cheating, and then Barry Bonds. Let's not even go there today. I don't know what happened, but somewhere, I want to say maybe in the 80s, we started celebrating stupidity. It's like sometimes you see a dog that's so ugly, it's actually sort of cute. There are even people that I would describe that way. And what started happening was like, you're so stupid, you're actually lovable, which is fine if it happens in isolated cases, but not the entire country. I mean, look at the stuff that Jimmy Kimmel does. Look at the stuff that Jay Leno used to do with jaywalking. You know, who's buried in Grant's tomb, that sort of stuff. How many green Chinese pots in a dozen? Snoop Dogg was on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune earlier this week. They're referring to it as a beautiful disaster. For example, he always giving these dumb, wrong answers. The clue, well, the phrase up on the board was baking brownies, and he said baking onions. Next one was talented artist. He said toilet atlas. These things don't even make any sense. Sweetening the pot. Snoop says swallowing the knot. Instead of acting teacher, he said airport teacher, which of course makes no sense. And publicity stunt, according to Snoop, was underwater stunt. Don't celebrate stupidity. Or maybe he was just stoned out of his mind. Who knows? Coolio. Remember him? They found him dead on the bathroom floor of his house yesterday. He was 59. Barney, as in I love you, you know, all that sort of, used to get death threats. A giant puppet used to get death threats. All right, late night tonight, Chloe Fineman from Saturday Night Live, which starts a new season this weekend, along with Robert De Niro. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Ben Stiller. George Clooney, I'm with Colbert. Billy Eichner, on with James Corden. Colin Jost, who does Weekend Update, obviously, on with Seth Meyers. And Trevor Noah's got David Bowie's widow, Iman. Katie Couric, breast cancer. She has completed her first round of radiation. Billie Eilish, Kaley Cuoco, and other celebrities have signed a letter asking for the end of horse-drawn carriage rides in New York City, and I'm with it, too. I was in a cab once. One of the last times I would go to New York, you know, when I was doing all those movie junkets and interviews and everything, seeing all that movie stuff, and I had a barely intelligible cabbie, and he got scraped by one of these horse-drawn carriages, and he got out, and these two, I thought they were going to pull out guns and start shooting each other. I'm sitting in the back of the cab going, am I going to have to drive this thing to the airport myself? Got a dead cabbie in the middle of the road stinking to high heaven. A couple of years ago, I remember, you know, they have the wonderful Winter Wonderland thing at Tillis Park, and a horse just went bang right over on its side. I think it's a legitimate question to ask whether this is a good idea anymore. You know, there just doesn't seem to be any way of knowing whether these horses are being taken care of the right way or whether they're being abused. Most of those horses are so old. Even the ones we have in downtown St. Louis, they just don't look healthy. I don't know. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. Kevin Bacon has joined the cast of Beverly Hills Cop, Axel Foley. R. Kelly has been ordered to pay $300,000 to one of his victims for psychological care and treatment of herpes. That guy really hit the trifecta, didn't he? He thought he was smarter than the cops. He thought he could just do whatever he wanted to whoever he wanted at whatever age he chose. He found out. Lisa Kudrow joining the cast of the Apple TV series Time Bandits, based on the 1981 movie of the same name, and Vanessa Williams making a series about the penthouse photo scandal that cost her the Miss America crown. She's obviously let that go, huh? All right, birthdays today. The guy who played Kurt Warner in American Underdog and did a nice job, by the way. Zach Levi is 42. Erica Alaniak from Baywatch and that awful Beverly Hillbillies movie they made. 53, Andrew Dice Clay, 65. I interviewed him. I liked him. He was just running into blowback on his act. You know, he became this sensation back in the 80s And then the wrong people started finding out about him and really tried to run him out of town on a rail. And I interviewed him right about the time that that was happening. And he was really upset about it. And I should also say a little bit hurt. His act is, in fact, an act. And what I was talking to is, you know, talking like a normal person. I also thought he was good in A Star Is Born, opposite Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Mark Farner from Grand Funk, 74. Brian Gumbel, 74. Mike Post, the guy who wrote all the theme songs to, oh gosh, Law & Order, The A-Team, Hill Street Blues, Quantum Leap, Rockford Files, Doogie Howser, The Greatest American Hero. He's 78 today. Ian McShane from Deadwood is 80. He was also just terrific in that movie, We Are Marshall. And Jerry Lee Lewis, the killer, is 87 today. Pope John Paul I, found dead in his Vatican apartment just 34 days after becoming pope. Rumors continued to persist that they poisoned him. That was in 1978. Jeez. 40 years ago today, 1982, the Tylenol killer claimed its first victim in the Chicago area. They never found the guy or the woman who was responsible for all of that, but it completely changed the whole manufacturing of medication with all the safety seals and everything like that. Breaking Bad series finale aired on AMC for the final time. That great scene with Badfinger playing Baby Blue. That was 9 years ago. And you can laugh if you want. I don't care, because I liked the TV show Felicity with Kerry Russell, at least the first two seasons. And you had a St. Louis kid, Scott Foley, played one of the boyfriends, everything like that. So she went on to The Americans and that whole KGB thing. But Felicity debuted on the WB on this day 24 years ago. So it's 1995, and I'm sitting in St. Louis, the phone rings. I'm like, hey, you want to come to New York with this new movie called Now and Then? So you've got Demi Moore, you've got Melanie Griffith, you got Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks' wife, and Rosie O'Donnell, and they're all in this movie, and come on to New York, and you get a chance to see it. We'll do the interviews and the whole thing. I'm like, you know, it was 1995. Those are pretty big names at the time. So I go out there. The movie is done in flashback. So Demi Moore, Melanie Griffith, Rita Wilson, and Rosie O'Donnell are seen in like the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes. And then the whole middle part of the movie, outside of the first five and the last five, is done in flashback. And they have like 13-year-old actresses playing them as young kids. There's an old phrase, you fucked up. You trusted me. And Jimmy Buffett has canceled the remainder of his tour, even though his manager says it's because of undisclosed health issues. Some people claim there's a woman to blame. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, September 29th. It was such a dad joke. September 29th, 2022. 40 days until the midterms. Here we go. All right. As the generators continue to buzz away outside, we wait for the power to come back on. Until then, I got nothing. Should be back tomorrow morning. Please tell everybody that you know we are here. Podcast is back up and running here at jcontheline.com. We publish just after about 7 o'clock every weekday morning. Absolutely free. Everything is archived. You can email me, jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.